Good morning. I'd like to add my happy Father's Day to all of you as well. So good to see you this morning. What am I doing? Kids' church, yes. I assumed that while I was walking, Mark was talking about that and I forgot. So kids, if you want to go to kids' church this morning, Cindy is waiting for you in the back. You're going to go downstairs and then the kids are going to come back up to the lobby, possibly when church is over. If they're not up in the lobby, then that means they didn't know church is over. So they're still downstairs and you can collect them there. Thank you. I didn't know what I was doing wrong, Robert. I forgot the other thing I was supposed to bring up, and that was the clicker. Where is my remote? Can't be a dad without your remote, right? So this morning's message is titled, What My Father Taught Me, and I'm not going to speak for half an hour about all of the things that my father taught me. But we're going to see what God's Word has to say about all of us, men and women, the things we should be teaching our children, but especially fathers, have this responsibility to pass on their faith. First of all, I did mention, or I talked about it in my part of the video, my father is Giuseppe Gaetano Massaro, and he immigrated from Italy in 1935. He met his father for the first time when he was 8 years old, because his father, Giovanni, had already come and set up a shoemaker shop in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and he was raising money so that he could bring over his wife and two oldest boys. My father served in the Merchant Marines. He served in World War II, and you look at me and say, how is that possible? Because you're so young, how could you have a father who served in the war? It's possible. He was 40 when I was born, and I was just 30 when he passed away 23 years ago. My father taught me the importance of hard work. I saw him coming home from the bakery. I never saw him going to the bakery because that was like 3 a.m. and he would go and work and make amazing food, and then he would be home for the afternoon, which was great, having my pop around. He taught me to turn off all the lights in the house and to save electricity. He taught me that if something was broken, you first try to fix it. And this is a man who quit school at 8th grade so he could help support his family. So he was done with school early, but he had a huge library of fix-it books. And if something was wrong electrically or plumbing or paving or just about anything you could imagine, he would buy a book and try and figure out how to do it. And he taught me that it was worth trying to fix things first. He also taught me not to throw things away. As he grew up in the Depression, I still have a hard time throwing away bent nails if I can't straighten them a little bit first and see if I can reuse them. And I have jars and jars of parts that he made us keep, and I still have them waiting for the day that I just might need this thing that's there on the shelf. He loved feeding people. Being Italian, he said, you don't ask them, you just keep bringing out the food, right? And you always have enough food. He always had his pantry full, and every time we came to visit, even as married kids, he would send us home with bags of groceries. He would send strangers home with loaves of bread. He was always feeding people and caring for them. As I mentioned in the video, he worked with people from every nation, and he learned bits and pieces of Chinese and Japanese and Spanish, and obviously he spoke Italian, but he would learn parts of people's languages so that he could talk to them, so he could encourage and help them. He taught me to not be prejudiced, to see people as people and not as a nationality or something else. He thought education was important and he wanted all of his kids to go to college. So he made sure that we stuck it out and we kept learning and keep learning, never give up. He had pen pals all around the world. He would stay up till 1 and 2 a.m. at his desk, and he was writing to people all over the world. Some of them were coin collectors or paper money collectors. Some of them were people he sailed with back in the 40s and 50s. And he just loved people, and he would keep writing to them. He didn't talk a lot about his faith, but after the age of 40, when we started attending a Baptist church as a family, he came to know the Lord. And his Bible had markings all throughout it of the date, the pastor, the message title, every sermon that he heard, he would take notes and he would mark them up in his Bible. He taught me that faith was important, and he was there with us. A lot of pastors thought he was especially holy because after a long week in the bakery, his head would nod and he would spend a good deal of the service with his head down, not in prayer, but sleeping because he was just worn out. But my father taught me so many great things. He taught me to love family, to care for them, that family's important. And so I am thankful for my pop. I didn't have a dad, I had a pop. He was Papa Joe. This morning, as we talk about fathers, I want to share some principles from Scripture. And then we see God as our best example. First of all, we need to show integrity as fathers. We need to teach our children. We need to encourage our children. And then we need to look at how God is our Heavenly Father. There's a specific reason he used that term, and that he talks about Jesus as his son. God is so different from us. He's other from us. He's not human, but he gives us this picture of a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity of our God. And that's to help us understand that there's a bond of love, there's a bond of family, and that it's important for us to be fathers, to be sons, to be a family, and to care for one another. The other thing my father taught me that I almost forgot as I'm just looking at Jack again. Jack is wearing his dad tour shirt, which says something to the effect of, don't make me come back there or don't make me stop this car, right? So dads say things like that. And they don't stop for directions. They are a compass into themselves. So first of all, show integrity. A year ago, as we had Father's Day, we handed out pens that said, real men show integrity. What's the number one priority in your life? What's the thing that is the most important? And as we look at Scripture, I'm going to fly through them because I just wanted God's word to speak to you this morning. It's not about what I think about fathers, but it's what God says. So the first passage is in Deuteronomy 6. And Jack, as I read from the Bible, I'll let you click through them. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, your God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Our first priority needs to be that God is number one in our lives. That's integrity. That is that he's all of our strength, all of our might. We love him with everything. And then in Exodus and in Proverbs, we see that we need to love our parents. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Fathers, are you honoring your own father? We don't give up on that, no matter how old we are. We continue to honor our parents. And that teaches our children that it's important to honor them. As a young dad, I thought I had to tell my sons that they needed to honor me. I needed to tell them, you have to listen to me. You have to respect me. And as time went on, I realized that I needed to earn that by living a life of integrity, by living a godly life in front of them. And that it's up to them to honor, to respect. We teach them respect, but they have to live it out. And most of all, they're going to catch that by watching our lives, as Frank said, the way we treat our parents. So dads, continue to honor your parents. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And then in Hebrews, in the faith chapter, we see by faith Noah being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world, that he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Fathers, we need to live righteously. We need to know God, and we need to obey him. And in doing so, our families are blessed. Our families are saved from so many things. That doesn't mean that just because you know the Lord that your kids automatically will. That's not the salvation that we're talking about. Noah's family was physically saved from the world, from the flood. So fathers, as we live righteously, as we know and love God, we will protect our children, our families, from a lot of bad things out there. But it's up to them to see their need for the Lord. And it's up to you, fathers and mothers, to ask your kids, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Do you know the Lord? Help them see that this is the most important thing that they need to do in their lives. And then finally, we need to be godly examples. Paul, speaking to Timothy, said, you've followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and my sufferings. The things that happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. The Apostle Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. And he lived a life in front of him that was a life like a godly father. Be an example for your children. Let them see you suffering. Let them see you handle difficulties. And let them see you go to the Lord with those things and pray about them instead of trying to maybe hide them from your kids, hide the problems of life. Let them see that there are problems, but the answers are found by following God. And then we need to teach our children. We need to be intentional about this. God told Abraham, he said, I've chosen him that he may be, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he had promised to him. We need to be intentional in teaching our children about God. Not only talking about being godly, not only talking about love, talking about justice, talking about loving our neighbors, but living it out in front of them. Let them see you serving people around you. Let them see you protecting the weak, standing up for people who need it. God will bless and fulfill his promises, just as he did for Abraham, for those who obey him. And then back to our Deuteronomy passage. This is where we often go to instruct parents. After we recognize that the Lord our God is one, and that we should love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength, God's word says, you shall teach them these principles diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. When your son asks you in time to come, what's the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves, and God brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. We need to be ready to share with our children our faith stories, the things that happen to us in our lives, to be consistent. And as you heard in these passages, it's when you're walking. It's when you're going to bed, having those bedtime story times, the prayer time. They're so precious that we have those. And I still remember, I'm not going to embarrass you, Jack, but I still remember the time when you said, I'm ready to put myself to bed. And I think I cried that night because I missed wrapping up the day and praying with him. Those are times that we can just hang on to with our kids. We can continue doing them with our grandkids. And I'm sure if I asked Jack if I could pray with him at night, he would probably still let me. He might not want to hear the steadfast tin soldier again, but those times were just so precious to spend with our kids. Being intentional about teaching our faith. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. You'll be blessed by children who love and obey God. And it's going to bring happiness. It's going to bring joy to your family. Children who are often at trouble in school, maybe with the law, are going to bring tears. They're going to bring sleepless nights to their parents. And some of us have experienced those late night calls when we're afraid of what's going to happen next. God doesn't promise us that our kids are going to be perfect, that they're going to always follow His way. But we know that when they do, it's such a blessing. And we know when they're straying away from the Lord, that we continue to love them. We continue to show them God's love. And then in Proverbs, we see that even among all of these things, it's important to teach discipline. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. Discipline and correction are necessary. We need to help our children understand the consequences of their actions. Sometimes that may mean letting them make the poor choice that you've explained to them, you've helped them see the pros and the cons, and then you say, I'm going to let you decide this. Obviously, you don't do it over things that are going to maybe cause life and limb, but you let them make choices, and then they learn from their consequences. They learn from their mistakes. They become independent. They can walk out into the world and start to make their own decisions. We have terms today of helicopter parents who hover over their kids and make sure that they're always safe, which is impossible, right? And then we have snowplow parents who are pushing all the obstacles out of the way in front of them so that they never have a difficult day. They never face a bad grade or miss being on a team because they're out there talking to everybody and making sure that everything is just going to go perfectly in their children's lives. They don't want to have them experiencing anything unpleasant, anything that's not fun. That's going to really mess them up when they go out into what we call the real world, right? When they go off into a new career, they go into the military, they go off to college, and they recognize that not everybody loves them like mom does. Not everybody lets them do whatever they want. They have to show up on time for work. There's consequences to these things. We have to teach those as fathers and as mothers. Be intentional in your teaching. And then to encourage your children. Sometimes dads are not known as the encouragers. We get the title maybe of the enforcer, the discipliner. My father, when he was sailing, before he knew the Lord, would have a just wait till your father gets home list of all the things my older brothers had done. And he came home and he got to administer the punishments. And that's one of the things that my father taught me by his life example. My older brothers, John and Fred, will tell me that I had a different father than they did because he got saved. He knew the Lord. Yes, he also got older and worn down by the time I came around, but he knew the Lord and he fathered me very differently. And I'm so thankful that God changes people's lives. When the Holy Spirit comes in and changes someone, and we keep changing to become more like Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today, because lives are changed by the gospel. We're not here just because it's a nice, cool place to be on a hot Sunday morning. We're here because lives are changed by the gospel. But dads do need to encourage their children. Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5 both talk about this. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Don't discourage your children. Notice Paul didn't tell mothers that they needed to hear this. Moms are great at encouraging. But dads are known for saying things like, don't make me pull this car over. That's it. We're turning around. We're canceling vacation because you two can't keep your hands to yourselves. We say preposterous things like that that we don't carry out. I guess you're not going to get any more toys because you keep breaking the ones you have. If you leave your bike out one more time, I'm just going to give it away. I'm sure there's somebody that wants it and is going to take care of it. Not only do we teach our children that we often aren't going to carry out these things, but we also teach them that if they wait long enough, dad's just going to cool off and then they can go on doing whatever they were doing. We need to be intentional again about discipline and teaching. And I am super guilty of saying every one of those things. Ephesians 6 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. When we father our children poorly, we are provoking them to sin because we're continuing arguments, we're continuing fights, we're saying things that are maybe impossible to obey, and then they sin, they fall short, and it just doesn't teach them anything. So instead, we need to encourage them to obey God. They need to learn that they're disobeying God, and it's not just dad and what he says. These are things that you need to do because God's word says them. Let me show you where God's word says the way you're supposed to act, that you need to be responsible, that you need to not lie to people. These are things from God's word. Yes, I'm teaching them to you. I'm your father, and I'm telling you them, so you have to listen. But ultimately, this is who we're responsible to. This is who we're obeying. Explain what she has done wrong. Yes, sometimes girls do things wrong too. And dads are really bad at disciplining their daughters. Right, dads? Let them see why it's wrong, what the results are, and then keep to it. Make the punishment fit the crime. God, our Father, is not only forgiving, but he doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't bring up the last 37 times that we just did the same thing and say, there you go again. But somehow, dads think that's okay. We need to be quick to show mercy, to forgive, to encourage our children, to obey God and not just discourage them. Psalm 103 talks about compassion. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. Dads, it's so easy to forget what it was like when you were little and you actually forgot something. Or that you didn't do something you said you were going to do. Or that you made a mistake. Dads, right? We never make mistakes anymore. But we look at our kids and say, how could you do that? Why would you do that? We need to show compassion, remembering not only their age, but that they are human just like we are. And I'm so thankful that God is compassionate to me. We need to have a little fun showing our kids some of our mistakes and let them see that we have failed too and humbly are willing to admit that. Malachi tells us that we need to love our kids. And he, God, will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. And this is a warning, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. God's love is unconditional. It's always forgiving. It's merciful. He shows us grace when we don't deserve it. He never gives up on us. And we know that he will protect us and keep us safe until the very end. God is our example, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some examples from God teaching us. God shows us mercy, grace, patience, in love and faithfulness. You, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. God is constant. He never changes. He is always faithful. He's always true to his word. He can't lie just by his very nature. In 2 Timothy, we see if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's not even in his character to be unfaithful. Fathers, we need to be reliable. We need to be faithful. We need to follow through on what we say we're going to do, and for our kids to know that we're always there, no matter what. 1 John, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God is how we define love. His example teaches us that we need to love our children and each other unconditionally, unselfishly, and never ending. Jeff read 2 Peter 1 for us earlier, and in there was a list of things that are required for us to have godly character: mercy, grace, patience, love, constancy, dependability, trustworthy, faithful, unconditional. Sorry, I just got ahead of myself in my notes. That's the summary of the things that we just talked about in those previous passages. Here are the things that Jeff read for us. We need to have faith. And to that we add virtue and a knowledge of God. We need to add self-control, to be steadfast, to be godly, to show brotherly affection, and to show love. Fathers, as you're listening this morning, and mothers and everybody out there, are these character qualities present in your life? Are they things that you need to work on? Are they things that you need to add to a daily prayer list and say, help me, Lord, show love. Help me be encouraging. Help me be steadfast. Help me show mercy and grace. There are things that our children should see in our lives. They may not notice them, but over time, they should be building into their lives. Thinking about what you learned from your own father. Things that you maybe don't want to pass on, and things that you do want to pass on. What are the traits that you say, I see that showing up again, and I need to cut that off right here. I don't need to be the impatient dad. I need to be the patient father. So what did I learn that I need to pass on? What do I want to teach my children and grandchildren? I'm looking forward to, just in a couple weeks, welcoming our first grandson. There are things that I want him to learn from me, and things that I want him to see in my son's life. We have opportunities to talk to our kids, to talk to our grandkids, and to make sure that their faith is important to them. To ask God for help. God is there. He provides everything that we need to live a godly life, to live a righteous life, and to be the fathers that he calls us to be. We need to read his word to know him. Mark is going to come. We're going to close in a final song. And I would encourage you on your way out later, dads and grandfathers, pick up a gift on your way out. It's so good again to see you all. Some of you were here last week with us. Some of you are back for the first time today. It's just great to be in God's house, to be not only worshiping him, but to see each other without your masks on for a time. You're welcome to keep them on during the service, but as you walk out later, we're going to dismiss you in by pew. So that we're walking outside, we're fellowshipping outside where there's lots of air moving around. We're not staying in here and talking, but go on out when we finish And I look forward to seeing you back again next Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day that was set aside to honor fathers. I thank you for my father, my grandfather, who both loved the Lord, who loved you, who taught me the importance of knowing you and growing in my faith. Lord, I thank you for each one of the men here this morning who are fathers, grandfathers, or maybe fathers-to-be. I pray that they would continue along with me to grow in our knowledge of you, to develop the character qualities that honor you, that love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Help us to pass those on to the next generation. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to God our Father be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, his Son, through all generations. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor.